Many of you know that this past summer I was blessed to acquire a dog whose name is Gracie. And Gracie is a German wire hair pointer, whom now I am proud to say the wire hair pointers took the sporting dog category at the Westminster Kennel Club dog show just this past week. So go Gracie. However, Gracie is not show material at all. Gracie was born and bred to point out birds, specifically birds out in the field when we're hunting. But, you know, Gracie just has this way about her. She likes to go out and smell and find mice. She loves to chase rabbits. As she's out scanning the field, smelling for birds, she'll get on a rabbit trail. She'll get distracted by a rabbit and she'll start following. And if she finds it and flushes it, she'll chase it. And usually because she's lost focus, starts chasing the rabbit, she ends up in the briars or in the burrs, comes back filled with burrs, and we have to have a little bit of a discussion. But she has this collar on her. And generally, I guide her and I call her back with words like here, here, or come, come. And usually that redirects her back, but there are those times when when my words just don't do that. And she has on her collar what we call a little siren, which from my remote that I carry around my neck, when she gets out of the way of where I want her, I can press a button and it makes this siren go off on her neck. And what that does, it breaks her concentration and her train of thought of what she's doing to all of a sudden realize, my master's calling me. And back she comes just from that sound. But she consistently and constantly needs to be guided and directed so she doesn't go down those rabbit trails. Kind of like a lot of us in our Christian walk. And what we're born and bred to do when we're born again in Jesus Christ. Anyone who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We're born again to be God's people, to bring glory to God in our lives. But sadly, we often go on those little rabbit trails where we lose our focus. We're distracted by the things that are all around us. God's people had that problem in the Old Testament. They got distracted and they started turning away from God. They got disfocused by the ways of their enemies in the world around them, and actually started even adopting those ways, and God allowed them to go into captivity for 70 years. And after 70 years, there was a man who was serving the king. He was a Jew that was born in captivity. And his heart was broken because he heard that Jerusalem had been broken down. And in the same respect, God's glory had been lost. So he answers God's call. God put this on his heart. He went before the king. He asked the king if he could go back and lead the people to rebuild the city. And the king said, okay, go. And he went back. He prayed first and foremost, but was allowed to go back and began rebuilding the wall, gathering his people back together. And the purpose of all this was to build God's kingdom and bring glory back to God. And we learned that building God's kingdom begins with a prayer. We learned that building God's kingdom happens when we publicly live out our faith, as he did, as he stood before the king, the same king who had decreed to stop building the city or the walls years earlier. We learned that building God's kingdom involves a common focus and communication. As he went back, he got the people focused. He said, you see, the trouble we're in, and the reason we're in this trouble. And he got them focused and communicated to them. And they said, let's build. Let's do this good thing. As they began building, we learned that building God's kingdom involves trusting God's promises, because the enemies and the opponents around them start laughing at them and making fun of them. And remember, Nehemiah said, the God of heaven will give us success, because he knew God promised that if they turned back to God, they would be successful and they would be blessed. And we learned that building God's kingdom requires every one of God's people to get involved. In chapter 3, we read how all the people of God's people from their surrounding areas came, men and women, old and young, to work on the walls. It's a great plan of salvation for God's city and for God's glory. When God's people are working to build God's kingdom, though, unfortunately, they're going to be attacked by enemies and opponents. Anybody that's a Christian knows this is part of the package.
No.
It's part of the package. And in the case of Christianity in the 21st century, we have to remember, first of all, that our enemy is Satan. He is the ancient foe. Paul told the Ephesians, we are not fighting flesh and blood. We are fighting the evil powers, the dark powers, principalities, and rulers of the dark world. It is a spiritual battle that we fight, and that's what it was for God's people even in the Old Testament. A spiritual battle for the glory of God. And the first trick in this battle, the first trick of the enemy in trying to stop God's people is to try and discourage them. It happens in a lot of ways. It happens in many places at many times. The enemy, that old devil, tries to discourage us. You know what I'm talking about. At work, you've got that person who always makes fun of you for your faith, maybe stopping to pray at lunch. At school, you young people know your friends that make fun of you because you go to church and Sunday school. Oh, gosh, there's so many good things to do on Sunday morning. Why do you go to church? You could be out doing all these things. You know what I mean. Or maybe at home, you have spouses, two of them, hopefully. One's a Christian, one's a believer, one's not. You get the ridicule. Why are you spending all that time at the church? You're always down there. Why do you go to church on Sunday morning? It's my only day off. We could spend it together. You know, you get the idea. The enemy's always attacking us. And the first trick is to try and discourage us. Many of you parents, you remember when your children were little and they needed change. Sunday mornings, you'd get them up, you'd feed them. We're all going to church as a family. You get them dressed first and then you go to get dressed, and by the time they were before you were dressed, you had to give them a bath. Right? And dress them all over again. I can remember the frustration. It was the enemy trying to discourage God's people in many ways, many places. We say, how should we react, first of all, when the enemy attacks us and our opponents try to belittle us? First, we have to remember that the battle is not ours, the battle is the Lord's. Second, we have to be constant and consistent in looking for God's strength and for victory. When we quit looking to God for strength and victory, that's when the battle is lost. In the case of Nehemiah, the first attack came in the form of ridicule. If you remember back on chapter 2, Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arab heard that Nehemiah had come. And they mocked and ridiculed Nehemiah and the people, claiming they were rebelling against the king. How many of you have had situations like this where you've been ridiculed, you've been picked on, you've been laughed at, and sometimes you just want to say, I give up. I give up. We cannot give up. We cannot give up because the walls will not be built, the victory will not be ours unless we continue to push on. We say, I just want to give it all up because my job's at stake here. I'm getting laughed at. And if I profess to be a Christian and pray at work, I might lose my job or I might lose my friends. I want to tell you something, folks. They are not worth it. The salvation of souls is at stake here. The kingdom of God and the glory of God is at stake. Nehemiah tells us Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall. He became angry and he was greatly incensed. So he ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring these stones back to life? And Tobiah, who was right at his side, said, well, what they're building, even if they do build it, if a fox climbs on it, it's going to fall apart. You see what was going on? The attack came in this form of ridicule, and being that God's people were accused of being weak. What are these feeble Jews doing? You know, That is a socialist principle, that religion is the opiate of the masses or of the weak. That people tell us, your religion is your crutch. You better believe my religion's my crutch, because I need two crutches sometimes in my life. They were accused of being weak. Secondly, the enemy questioned their ability. Are they going to restore the wall? Will they even finish in a day? Can they bring these stones back to life? Questioning your ability. Are you ever going to reach anybody standing up there on Sunday morning preaching? What can you do for God's kingdom? What can you do? Thirdly, the enemy was questioning their ability, their strength. Will they do this? Can they even do it publicly? Questioning their ability. Thirdly, they were criticizing their motivation. Can they bring these stones back to life? And lastly, they were laughing at their ambitions. Accusing them of being weak, questioning their ability, criticizing their motivation, and laughing at their ambitions. Wow. The story of my life since I've known Jesus Christ. I know that. The attack was in the form of a public, vocal ridicule. And that's usually where Satan will pick on you.
No.
Right in public, in front of people. Make you feel like a fool. But their retaliation came in a different way than what we would imagine. Hear us, O our God, for we're despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Don't cover up their guilt or blot out their sins, for they've thrown insults in the face of the builders. Now, they were praying against these people. The retaliation was in the form of prayer for justice. And they rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. Now, what they did in retaliation to all of this criticism and ridicule was pray for God's justice and stay focused on God's will. You see, we say, well, gosh, is it okay to pray against somebody? We're not praying against somebody. We're praying against some enemy. And when the enemy comes and attacks us in this way, and we understand Satan's trying to get into our lives and destroy our lives, you better believe it's okay to pray for God's justice. I had a lady who was frustrated with her son, and she said she was so tired of praying for him over the years because he kept doing wrong things, although he professed to be a Christian. She kept praying and praying and praying for him, and she said, finally I got to the point I didn't know what to pray, so when I prayed for him, I just said, Lord, sick him. You ever feel like that? Adult? Parent? We have power in prayer. And they stayed focused. They continued to rebuild. You know, as I thought about this, I thought about how a Christian life's an awful lot like trap shooting. We're going to miss some that go out there into the air. We're going to miss some. But we have to stay focused on the target, be pointing in the right direction, and let the big gun do the work. When we do that, things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. Now, the opponent didn't give up, and that's the way Satan works. He keeps coming at us. Sometimes he'll set back for a while, but he keeps coming at us. Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, the men of Ashdod heard this, that the repairs had gone ahead and the gaps were being closed. And they plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble. You see, the enemy couldn't get on their nerves, so they tried to get in their faces. The vocal was about to become physical. And the enemy will fight in whatever way he can to stir up trouble, to try and discourage God's people and disrupt their focus. Physically, you got that person at work in your face every day. Maybe at home every day. You've got that person. Maybe there's that person in the church that's challenging your faith. You want to stand firm, but they're constantly saying, oh, it's okay, everybody's doing it. You know what I mean? Physical attacks.
No.
Stirring up trouble. But their response was and must be the same. But we prayed to our God and we posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. They prayed to God and now posted guards to watch for the enemy's attack. Constantly praying, constantly watching. Consistently praying, consistently watching. That's an awesome biblical principle for you to remember. Consistently praying, constantly watching. Because the enemy's purpose in all this is to try to scare God's people and get them to doubt their power, lose their motivation to do God's will, and second guess God's word. That's what was going on here. They were being threatened physically to doubt their power. You have the Holy Spirit of God inside you. You have the power of Almighty God to resist the enemy and he'll flee. God gives us many different ways to do that. But if you're consistently praying and constantly watching, you will remain protected by God. The enemy tries to scare God's people to get them to lose their motivation to do God's will. You ever get up on Sunday morning and you say, oh man, I don't even feel motivated to go to church. Or you lose your motivation to do what it is God wants you to do. You just don't want to do it anymore. You're tired. You're burnt out. That's the enemy saying, that's okay, sleep in. That bed feels good, sleep in. Not a problem. You can go next week. Well, next week, same thing happens and all of a sudden it spirals, snowballs. Thirdly, to scare God's people to second guess God's word. And this is the biggie. This is the biggie. God's word had said, and Nehemiah reminded us in the very beginning that God had said that if your people turned back to you, God would take you in and prosper and bless you. That was God's word. That was God's promise. These are God's promises. This is God's word. When we doubt God's word, the battle's over. We might as well pack it up and go home. But you want to know something? We're not going home free. We're going home as slaves. Because the enemy takes us as slaves. This is our freedom. This is our power. This is our motivation. And you see, the attacks come because unbelievers want to control people. They're jealous of God's people, that God blesses them. And they gather others into their little circle of ridicule. You notice now it's Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod. My grandmother used to say, misery loves company. You'll never have to look very far for a group of people. They're just waiting to devour Christians. Oh, you can talk about Muhammad, you can talk about Islam, all you want. But you mention Jesus and you got battle in your hands. You got armchair theologians out there telling you all this stuff about Jesus. Well, where'd you hear that? Well, the internet. You see the commercial? Oh, where'd you read about that? Oh, I read about it in Time magazine. Or Life, I forget what the magazine was I saw about Jesus. It's like, what? No. You're getting your theology from magazines? From the internet? All you got to do is turn to God's Word. An enemy conspiracy here going on against the people and going on against you and I today. And sadly, as often the case even today among God's people, the attacks started to have an effect on the people. And we're going to learn about that next week. But God's people did not and must not give up. They found, and we must find ways to resist the enemy and his attacks in our lives. And that's from here on what we're going to learn about. What we can do, how we can use these biblical principles, and what will happen if we are like Nehemiah and his people. And you know what we're going to see? I'm going to spoil it for you a little bit. We're going to see the walls get rebuilt. They get rebuilt in 52 days. They get rebuilt. But the first step is we must consistently pray and constantly watch, not giving up or giving in. You remember Jesus when he went out the Mount of Olives to pray. He said to his disciples, you stay here and watch while I go over here. And what do? They fell asleep. They became complacent, much like the church, some churches today. Jesus came back and he said, you couldn't stay awake for an hour? Kind of like Sunday morning church. Can't stay awake for an hour? He said, pray and watch, that you might not fall into temptation. Not only then, when we consistently pray and constantly watch, not until then will we see the kingdom of God be built. We'll see the power of God fighting the battle for us. And we'll see this in the coming weeks as we continue to study Nehemiah, consistently praying, constantly watching. We'll see God's kingdom come to fruition. We'll see the glory of God in our lives every single day and in our church every single day. Let's pray. God, our Father, it's a tough battle that you've called us to, but we're going to fight because you've called us, and you've promised us if we turn to you, you will prosper us and draw us back to yourself. I pray that you do that, Lord, this week for each one of us as we stand firm in our faith, as we publicly live out our faith, as we trust in your promises. Help us to be constantly praying and constantly watching, consistently practicing our faith that we might see your blessings and your glorious kingdom. In Christ's name, amen. And our closing song this morning is number 730, so let us stand up and sing. 730.